You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. It's absolutely freezing cold on Tyneside as Newcastle take on Crystal Palace at St James's Park in the first game of 2026. George and Chris are on duty for this one. Let's get stuck straight into the action.
Okay, so I'm going to describe that as an average game, but a great win. It's back-to-back victories for only the second time in the Premier League, and it's a first clean sheet in 13 games. Both of those things feel pretty massive to me, Chris.
Yeah, this is another one where do the ends justify the means? I think if you take into account Burnley as well, I think this further contextualises how big that win was. Perhaps the frustration some maybe had of there's a feel that maybe was a win enough for a lot of people at Burnley, because Newcastle struggled for periods of the game, certainly to control it, found a way to win, and the key to make sure that it wasn't just not a wasted victory, but one that sort of felt like it wasn't built on foundations, was to go on and win again. And so that successive Premier League victories for only the second time this season, as you've said, that's huge. Newcastle end 2025 with a win, start 2026 with a victory and a clean sheet, something else positive, something really to build on. And I think there were some strong performances from individuals who will come on to, particularly in Lewis Miley, and then I suppose in delivery as well from Malik Chow and Bruno Guimaraes getting those key moments. But yeah, again, another match where it just feels like Newcastle needed to get a win. It wasn't wholly convincing always. It certainly wasn't swashbuckling stuff. But they end it with 3 points and have climbed up the table as a result.
Yeah, they're up to ninth as it happens, and only 2 points behind fifth. So that does begin to look a lot better. Eddie Howard called this a season-defining month for pretty obvious reasons, given that glut of home games. It was just vital to start with 3 points again. And, you know, it feels to me like they've they found a way to win two ugly games, and probably that's more important at this point of the season. Would you agree?
Yeah, I very much agree. It's you would like strong performances, of course you would, but when Newcastle are having to make changes from match to match, when their bench look very strong, which we'll come on to in a bit, but when generally Newcastle have had four fit senior defenders, one of whom, including in that, as Eddie Howe did the other day, Lewis Miley, who is not actually or hasn't been a right back until this point, and you had your first choice goalkeeper out injured, when you've been trying to deal with so many competitions at once, when you are still trying to evolve as a side with new players within it, wins are important though, and it sort of adds that affirmation to it. And Newcastle's Premier League position 3 weeks ago, or even last week, did not look great. Even going into this match, Newcastle were 14th at the start of play. That is in many ways unacceptable, but it also, I think, saps the confidence when it just feels like Newcastle can't climb up the table. So to get those back-to-back wins, and now hopefully have another opportunity against Leeds next time out, and then also the next Premier League game after that is away at Wolves, albeit Wolves won convincingly at home against West Ham. They obviously are bottom and look like they're going to be relegated. If Newcastle can somehow keep stringing a few wins together and climb up the Premier League table, I think performances will come after that. I think it has been a side, certainly at Burnley in the second half, that looked like it was lacking confidence. That is hopefully building now.
And as you mentioned, there are a couple of people we really do need to single out. So let's start with Newcastle's captain. He didn't have the perfect game in lots of ways, but he is the one player who I feel who's always looking to do things. Sometimes he tries to do too much. You know, Luke, friend of the podcast, talks about his messiah complex. He wants to be the one that changes the world, which, you know, it's very difficult to kind of get angry about that. It's a great quality. It's a nice quality. But, you know, you sometimes feel he takes too much on his shoulders. But he's the one who wants to make things happen. He got the goal. He got a goal that didn't necessarily feel like it was coming. And that's now 7 Premier League goals for him. So that puts him level as Newcastle's top scorer in the Premier League with Nick Voltimada. And it really was a captain's performance, I think you would say. Not just, you know, as I said, not a perfect game, but in terms of leadership and always pushing the team forward, it was a really important performance.
Yeah, he seems to be inspired by those moments of fighting back into games, and particularly at St James's Park. 6 of those 7 goals you mentioned have come at St James's Park. The other one was obviously the third one at Burnley in his last match, so he scored in successive games as well. He also has equaled his own record for most Premier League goals in a season. Obviously, we've only just reached the halfway mark of a campaign, so he is adding that to his game. He's spoken previously about how Eddie Howe's been getting on his back about that he needs to score more, he needs to contribute more. And it was interesting in Howe's post-match press conference, he was asked about the changes which were made in the 63rd minute in this game, something which has been a lot made of, that Eddie Howe makes a triple substitution and nothing changes. Well, actually, he changed things a little bit in the sense that Bruno had been playing as the right-sided number 8, and it was Sandro Tonali who was withdrawn, much to Tonali's frustration by all accounts. It seemed that he threw his coat out of the dugout, whether that was his own performance at being hooked or a combination of two, who knows. But then Bruno was shifted to the deep line role, and Howe said he wanted to get him on the ball more, he wanted more control, but also his influence in the game. Bruno had more touches than anyone else. He had one more than Lewis Miley, 90. He, as you say, he always wants on the ball, and he actually gave it away quite a lot. I think he gave it away 10 times in the game, so he tries to be progressive, and sometimes that's not to Newcastle's benefit. The first 15 minutes of the second half was chaotic. Bruno and Tonali in particular in midfield kept on giving it away. Palace kept giving it away as well, but it just felt like a sort of end-to-end basketball game. But Bruno always demands more. He always wants to get involved, and it comes from a set piece that he scores. Both of Newcastle's goals come from set pieces. They probably haven't scored enough from them for the height in the side that they have, for the delivery that they have. You look at the players they've got on the pitch, Bruno himself, Lewis Miley, Lewis Hall, these players who really can cross a ball, Sandro Tonali even. And it was a set piece which Bruno himself had won. He'd won a free kick just outside the area. It was crossed in by Jacob Murphy, half cleared to Harvey Barnes on the left-hand side. He puts it back towards the back post. Lewis Miley with a really clever, deft touch back inside. And Bruno Guimaraes is the one who's there showing the desire to get on the end of it and head in and score. And Newcastle needed that. I think it was the 71st minute they scored, was it? Something like, 71st minute I've got in front of us. So it had been a game of frustration that had two goals disallowed in the first half, rightly for offside, but they'd lacked real clear-cut chances. That had a few, but it wasn't as if they were peppering Henderson and in the Palace goal. So Bruno came up with that huge moment, really. Yeah,
yeah. And you mentioned the role that Lewis Miley played in the build-up, and you mentioned him at the start of the pod. So here are some stats. Lewis Miley completed most dribbles in the match. It was 5. He completed the most passes in the match, which was 59. And he was the most accurate passer with a 100% pass completion record. He also had the assist that you've just described beautifully. He played as part in a clean sheet. It's his 5th match in succession at right back. He is 19 years old.
We're contractually obliged to always mention.
We have to mention the fact that he's 19. It felt like he was 18 or 17 for about 3 years. He's been 19 for about half a decade. Howe felt able to start him again ahead of Livramento and Trippier, who were both on the bench. He was exceptional again. You're writing about him, Chris, for the Athletic, and we both talked to people about him afterwards. I spoke to Malik Chow, who scored the 2nd goal, and you spoke to Eddie Howe. Let's start with Malik Chow, and then hear straight afterwards from the head coach.
No, this guy is incredible. I remember the first week I was here. I knew him from things, but I started training. The quality he has as a midfield player. But yeah, then even surprised me as well how he can play as a right back. The composure he has, the one against one defending, how good he is. He's quick as well, really comfortable on the ball. He's a great, great player. I think Newcastle should be really, really happy to have him. Yeah.
And it feels like everybody trusts him. I mean, he is only 19, but you wouldn't think that the way he plays. No, you're happy to give him the ball.
Yeah, I think football is not about age. It's about performance. And I think he's one of the guys who leads, actually, with his performances.
Very, very good performance from him again. On the ball, very good, very composed. You sort of come to expect that with him, although it's never easy to deliver. But it's the defensive performance that really, you know, I tip my hat to him, because it's so difficult to play that position when you haven't played it through your career. And tactically, we asked something slightly different from him again today, and he sort of takes everything in his stride and does it really, really well.
So, I mean, Chow, I think, makes the interesting point there. We've mentioned age, meant that he's 19, but Malik Chow, in response to you, basically says it doesn't matter what age Lewis Miley is. He is so composed and on the ball and very calm. But it's you can look at that stat of the sort of 59 passes, 59 completed, and think, oh, well, it's just sort of a metronomic passer in midfield. Somebody sits there and just passes it from side to side. And there is some of that. Sometimes he does do that. Sometimes he just picks what some may see as an easy pass, but it sort of takes a sting out of the game. But that isn't only what he did. I think he had the joint most passes into the final third of any Newcastle player alongside Fabian Schär. He obviously got the assist. That was his only sort of chance he created, but only Lewis Hall created more than one chance for Newcastle today. And he also drives forward with possession. He completed 5 dribbles, the most of any player. So he can either use the ball by carrying it from right back or centre midfield, as we know is his natural position, or he can pass it forward. And I think that the maturity he's shown in that role and that ability that he has is something that needs to be in this Newcastle side, whether that is at right back or centre midfield. If you think about the away games and what we've repeatedly talked about, Newcastle keep giving the ball away, like certainly in the second half, if they can have someone in there who more regularly can take the sting out of it a little bit, make sure they make the right decision, have that composure, I think that's huge. But it was Malik Chow who you spoke to. He got the second goal, which also came from a set piece, scrappy again in many ways. It was Bruno who crossed the ball in to a really good delivery. Henderson didn't really seem to know what to do with it, which was back on his line and sort of stuck out a hand onto it. Gay tries to clear it, then it comes off Lacroix, I think it is, and Malik Chow's there to prod it over the line. And that was in the 78th minute, so Newcastle scored 2 goals in relatively quick succession. And yeah, Chow, I thought, was excellent again. Very airily, was very good against Mateta, him and Schär both together. Schär's best game in a while, I thought. And yeah, another player who, in Malik Chow, who, since he's come in the summer, undoubtedly Newcastle's best signing of the summer so far. Nick Voldemort would compete in terms of goals scored, obviously, but just for being consistently excellent, I think it's hard to look beyond Malik Chow.
He kind of looks effortless, doesn't he? And he times his tackles so well. Just on that, in terms of Miley, I listened back to our last midweek pod, and I just say, in terms, it's become, I now say it every sentence, Chris.
It's a normal conversation.
I know, but I say it every sentence.
Yeah, well,
I'm gonna have to.
In terms of that, you're just gonna have to get over it.
I'm gonna have to start. I'm gonna have to be threatened. I'm gonna have to like be docked a point or 3 points or something every time I say it.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Try to play like a Georgie, give everything that I can for the club.
I did want to say though, on Miley, you can of course look at those stats as you said, and you know, you could say, okay, so he's not giving the ball away and he's played, so he must, perhaps he plays it safe. But he doesn't do that. And like right back is a position where you're put under pressure. And the thing is, he never looks like he's under pressure. That's the thing I love about him.
Particularly in the way Howe's teams play it, because both offensively and defensively, the full-back positions are huge in any Howe system.
Yeah. And you know, obviously you can forgive Bruno giving the ball away. You said he gave the ball away 10 times. Now, sometimes it can be carelessness, and that's when it's annoying. You can forgive someone like Bruno giving the ball away because, as you say, he's trying to, you know, do the defence unlocking pass, which he can do brilliantly. And, you know, we've seen some of that today against Palace. But the thing with Miley, he just doesn't waste possession. And the thing that they've always been excited about at Newcastle about him is the fact it's that mix of ability, creativity, and he's got the intellect. And you put those two things together, I would say Tonali is a similar player. You know, Tonali is not going through a great run of form at the minute, but he's got intellect on the pitch and he's got the means to deliver it, and that's why they're so excited about Miley. And you can just see that in right back, he doesn't allow himself to get put under pressure because the ball, he already knows most of the time where the ball's going to go next.
Yeah, and you know that I'm not someone who really uses hyperbole or hype, because I'm quite a boring person and I have no ambition.
Hyperbole is the word you pronounce that word.
However you say it.
Hyperbole.
That's part of the reason why I don't use it. But I think there's so much more to come from Miley as well. If you look at how he can deliver a set piece, crossing-wise, I almost feel like sometimes, particularly since he's been at right-back, there's almost he feels he has to give the ball to somebody else, and possibly that's because he's got Jacob Murphy in front of him, who is a very good crosser of the ball. Although today he had a very, I thought he had a very testing day. He kept going. How he stayed on the pitch for as long as he did, I'm not entirely sure. He did improve as the game wore on after a very difficult first half. But Miley, he doesn't seem to yet have the conviction to want to cross the ball himself or to actually do that. And I think he can add so much more to that. I think he can create even more. We've seen he's added goals over the course of the last few weeks as well, set piece wise. He's 6'4". He's starting to really fill out as well. I just think there is a really, really good player already there, but I think he can add so much more to his game. Whether that is at right back, and Howe hasn't ruled out keeping him there. He says he does identify Miley as a midfield player at the moment, and that he thinks he'll improve from this experience. But against Leeds on Wednesday, regardless of whether it's in midfield or at right back, I think it would be a disappointment in many ways if Lewis Miley is not in that side, because I think he deserves to be.
He certainly isn't the perfect right back because he can't throw the ball, as we've talked about in previous podcasts. You'd have to get a specialist throw-in taker for that side if he stays at right back. But you know, you would back him, of course, to learn how to do that and then become the best player on the pitch. But he's definitely not there yet. You talked a bit about the start of the game. The first half really was not great. It was absolutely Baltic, freezing cold on Tyneside. And
you had your heated jacket, though. Did you actually turn it on anything?
I did turn my heated jacket on, yeah. I think I've got thermal bottoms on. I've got a thermal top on. I've got a jumper. I had a heated jacket. I had a spare coat in my bag, plus my big coat. Turned on the heated jacket. It was freezing. It was absolutely freezing. It did feel
at halftime, like it might be one of those games, was not convincing at all. It was not a good game of football. Palace, you know, they're not in a great run of form, but they were pretty good.
They've got a lot of injuries as well.
They've got a lot of injuries, and they did show themselves to be quite good at making life difficult. And it felt like a struggle at that point. The difference this time is that Newcastle found a way. They took the lead, and they weren't particularly threatened. You know, they took the lead. They didn't give it away. They didn't drop those points from a winning position. And actually, I think the contrast with Burnley, where it was, you know, it was harum scarum for a lot of that second half, Newcastle got stronger in this match. And you mentioned the subs bench at the start. That was so good to see. It was a strong bench again. Newcastle used it, and the people who came on made a positive contribution.
Yeah, I mean, just before we come on to that specifically, I think that if you mentioned the first half, Palace had a few openings. But, I mean, Nick Pope's only made one save in the entire game, which was a fairly comfortable one from Brennan Johnson from a tight angle. Johnson was making his debut for Palace. I thought that he stretched Newcastle at times, but then maybe his decision-making wasn't quite there. Mateta, I don't think, is fully fit, but Newcastle dealt with him very well. But in the end, Newcastle have 1.88 XG, Palace have 0.7. But that was very tight until the last 20 minutes, when it is Newcastle take advantage of that in the set-play situations, but also getting forward. They did have the ball in the net twice in the first half, Newcastle. Yohan Wissa very unselfishly laid on Anthony Gordon to his left after being played through by Bruno. Very good work by Tonali actually in the build-up to that, but Wissa just straight offside. Then Joe Linton had already been flagged offside on the pitch when another really good through ball. I think it was Cher who played him through, and he put it beyond Henderson. But beyond that, Newcastle didn't really test Henderson too much in the first half. There was like a shot from Lewis Hall from distance and a couple of other sort of half chances, really. But when Howe made those changes in the 63rd minute, there's been a lot. I mean, in the pre-match press conference, there was a bit of an exchange, which far too much has been made out of. But with a reporter, when part of the question that had been asked was some fans maybe questioning, does Howe have a plan B that instead of making tactical changes or wholesale changes, you know that in likelihood early in after the hour mark, he's going to make a triple substitution? And he did make a triple substitution, but as I mentioned previously, that wasn't just like for like in the sense that it was midfield player for midfield player. It was actually a right back who came out left back, which says a lot about Lewis Miley's performance as well, that it was Lewis Hall who made way, even if that's probably due to fitness, that they left Miley on at right back and Tino Livramento came on at left back. It was Ramsey came on for Tonali, which allowed Bruno Guimaraes to go deeper. Bruno Guimaraes, who obviously I have to say both his names, as we well know. And
well
then
done, Chris Wolf.
Thank you very much. And then the other substitution was Harvey Barnes, who came on for Gordon rather than Jacob Murphy, which presumably, again, was to do with fitness, because, as I say, I'm not sure how Murphy necessarily stayed on. But Barnes came out. I thought Barnes made a huge impact. Bruno moving deeper did as well. And Newcastle just had a lot more intent about them, and I felt that they had a bit more conviction on the ball, a bit more willingness to have a go at Palace. Maybe Palace sat deeper as well. Maybe Palace had tired. But those changes, yeah, Newcastle looked better in attack for it. And even when Voldemort came on later on for Yohan Wissa, I thought he had a positive impact. He won a couple of free kicks. You can see that he's really been, I think, is benefiting from maybe the not being flogged as much in terms of he doesn't have to play all the time now, but also maybe he is being pushed by now he's got competition, and that's raised him further, and he's benefiting from that. So all round, I think there are a lot of positive signs from that final half an hour.
Do we spare Joe Willock the embarrassment of talking? I suppose I brought it up now, so we're going to have to do it. You're going to have to talk it through in gory, graphic detail.
Well, the interesting thing about the horror miss from Willock in injury time was that just before, literally in the phase of play that led to it, Howe shouted to Barnes and Willock to switch, and I think he'd spotted that Barnes could potentially get in behind Tyrick Mitchell at left back, and so as that happened, literally as he'd switched across Barnes, the ball was played in behind by Bruno to send Barnes in on goal. He was from a tight angle on the right, shot across Henderson made a good save. Willock, who made up a lot of ground in fairness, and that's the one point of mitigation I would give him, followed in and somehow managed to spurn a shot and put it wide of the right hand post. That he's a player short of confidence. You really could have done with that. That would have been a sort of the cherry on the cake for Newcastle, but it didn't matter in the end. They were already 2-0 up, and you mentioned the clean sheet. The clean sheet feels huge. 12 matches across all competitions. Newcastle not kept a clean sheet 12 matches in the Premier League since early October, having kept 5 in the opening 7 games. The injuries in defence have undoubtedly added to that. But still, Newcastle have been conceding goals when they shouldn't. I asked Howe about this in the pre-match press conference, and he'd spoken about Newcastle having the second best expected goals against in the Premier League, but still conceding in silly situations. That was a big frustration. Talked about concentration levels. I then asked him afterwards about the relief of getting a clean sheet.
Yeah, it does. I also felt we deserved it today. I don't think Nick was overworked. And I know we weren't perfect defensively, but I think it was a really good display. I thought our two centre-halves were very good, especially aerially against Mateta. Louis Miley again was superb. So yeah, I was really pleased with the defensive resilience that we showed. They had a number of long throws early in the game, corners that come direct into our box. And I thought we stood up to the aerial threat that they had really well. So really pleased to get the clean sheet for everybody because we've been working hard on it. And yeah, hopefully that's the start of many in the next few games.
Yeah, that feels really big. And of course, Newcastle's home form is what is keeping their season going, really. That's how it's been this season. That's 11 home League and Cup fixtures they're now unbeaten in. And if they can keep that run going this month, it'll leave them in a really, really strong position across all four competitions that they're still in.
Yeah, because that was the first of 4 straight home games in all competitions, 6 of the next 7, including this one, at home.
Yeah, so a big, big moment. And they needed to start with a win. They did. So it's a happy new year for Newcastle. It's a happy new year to all of you listening. You'll hear more from us in the week. Thanks very much for listening from a victorious and a very cold St James's Park. Goodbye.
A huge 3 points, a clean sheet and back-to-back Premier League wins for only the second time this season. And very much like Pod on the Tyne, it wasn't always pretty, but we got the job done. We'll be back for Leeds at home on Wednesday with an extra Tyne matched episode for our subscribers. And our regular free-to-air show will be back a little later in the week. Thanks again to George and Chris for braving the cold. And thanks to all of you for listening, of course. From everybody at Pod on the Tyne, take care. Goodbye.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.